And welcome to a very special Valentine's Day edition with none other than Aaron Stevens, formerly known as Damian Sandown, on our show, Ask Me Anything. We are here today with Jenna Greenspoon.
Hi.
And our very, very favorite guest, Aaron himself. Hello, Aaron.
Hello, and wow, am I flattered. I'm your favorite guest. That is truly an honor.
You are. And I don't know if you've heard this, Aaron, but Jenna and I were at the Arena Royal Rumble, and we had the opportunity to interview Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, and you're still our favorite.
Oh, well, thank you. And you know what? Ricky is one of my favorite, and he is just such a classy guy, and he is truly a legend. So that's awesome. You got to meet him. And how's he doing, by the way?
He's great. You know what? He brought up that he's a 66-year-old man and he looks in peak condition. And he was sharing about when they have gatherings and the old timers come together and see each other. And he said, you know, a lot of the people that he wrestled with are 100 pounds overweight, have been drinking and, you know, partaking in some type of drugs and not aging well. Some of them can't even stand up straight. So I remember when we were talking to you last interview that you had mentioned that you do so many things to keep your body in peak condition. And it makes sense. If you're able to keep yourself in good condition, even after a successful wrestling career, you can still be balanced and clear.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? It only adds to quality of life, too. And I think sometimes, you know, where, especially in that business, people can get so focused on just getting to the next town because, you know, it's very nomadic in the sense of you're in a different city every night. And when you have to perform at a high level, you know, yes, you have to go to the gym. You have to, you know, eat properly or just eat in general, you know, find time to eat. And I also think it's like the mentality of having a healthy lifestyle can sometimes get lost, which, you know, it's funny. I know that seems kind of paradoxical in that you have to look a certain way and perform, but sometimes, you know, for long-term health, again, it's not the best thing. So the guys that find the balance of maintaining, you know, proper nutrition, proper diet, you know, getting rest when they can, you know, and that not only pertains to life in that industry, but when you get outside of it. I mean, I know for me, I have far more healthy habits now than when I was in the wrestling industry. And that's just me. But, you know, a guy like Ricky Steamboat, he's indicative of someone, I mean, again, always in shape, always, you know, on the go. He was actually a trainer when I was in FCW. And I really, really had nothing but fond memories of him. And I learned a lot from him. And, you know, I think Ricky Steamboat is an example of, you know, what people should aspire to when they leave the business.
I agree with you there. Even the way that he conducted himself in an interview, he was very well spoken. And he was just he was a real pillar, somebody that you could look up to. And having the opportunity to be there with him was amazing. And Jenna was also backstage with us at the Arena Rumble. Jenna, what did you think about getting to meet all the wrestlers backstage?
Yeah, I mean, it was great. I have to be honest, though. Like, I growing up, never really watched wrestling, and probably because I was the oldest and I had a younger sister. So like, you know, wrestling wasn't very big in our house. And, you know, I also have a younger brother, but he's so much younger than me that, you know, by the time he would have even been interested in that, I was already out of the house. But it was really amazing sort of, you know, just to talk to all these different wrestlers. And, you know, I found it really interesting listening to how they, you know, felt about if their kids would go into wrestling or, you know, where their careers have gone since they've become wrestlers. And, you know, all of it was really interesting. But Julie, like, you know, Julie knows all the terminology. She like followed wrestling so well. She's asking all the questions about, you know, back in the day when they were wrestling versus now. And I'll say she really impressed me.
Well, thank
That's
you.
That's wonderful. Wow.
But now let's focus on what all the listeners who are listening right now want to know is Valentine's Day lowdown. Stuff about love, stuff about Valentine's Day, your views on it. Jenna Greenspoon wants to ask you the very first question in regards to our Valentine's Day special.
Sure.
So absolutely. Here we go.
Yeah, let's get right into it. I mean, I think lots of people have different opinions on Valentine's Day. You know, some people think, oh, Valentine's Day, like they're not interested because they don't have a significant other and they don't really want to have anything to do with it. I know I personally have a completely different view on Valentine's Day altogether. So we'd love to hear your view on Valentine's Day and, you know, has it changed over the years? Do you like it? Do you hate it? Do you ignore it completely? You know, tell us how you feel about Valentine's Day.
Well, you know what? In general, you know, I'm a very much live and let live kind of person. And I have both been single and in relationships on Valentine's Day. To me, you know, it's about, does my partner, like, will they feel better if I do some stuff for them, you know, and whether it is some chocolates or a dinner, you know, a gift, things like that. And it all is like, however deep and committed a relationship I was in, you know, the more I would do kind of deal. And it was pretty much to make the other person, just let them know that, hey, like, this is the day dedicated to this kind of thing. And I'm just going to acknowledge that. But again, personally to me, it's about trying to be there all the time, not just one day. You know, it's kind of like Christmas where everyone is nicer and they're happy because it's the holiday season. And then, you know, like, what happens after New Year's? Do you just go back to being, you know, miserable or less happy? So it's nice to be able to acknowledge things, in my opinion, and it's nice to have days to recognize certain things. But in my opinion, it should be an ongoing process. You know, it's like every day you should let someone know how much they're appreciated and cared for and things like that. So that's just my personal opinion. I mean, if no one was to ever get me a Valentine's Day gift, I wouldn't blink an eye. But, you know, if I knew that, you know, the woman I was with would feel better because I acknowledged that day and kind of did something, then I would absolutely do it. And I have no problem with that because that's, you know, that's just kind of the way it is.
So is it sort of like, if you're seeing someone, like, I totally appreciate what you're saying, and I absolutely agree. I was actually just thinking, like, I guess just because of what I do in terms of Savvy Sassy Moms and the blog and, you know, always coming at things from a parenting perspective, we talk a lot of, like, right now on the blog about Valentine's Day and how to celebrate it with your kids. And so that's sort of, like, just my focus and also just in my stage of life that's, you know, for me, it's all about my kids. You know, granted, you don't have any kids. And I think last time we asked you if you were in a relationship and you said not at the moment. So I guess, you know, has that changed?
No. No.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't giving you inaccurate info.
No. I'm still very single, and that is by choice. Again, where my life is just a little bit, I don't want to say hectic because, or busy is actually a better word. And, you know, in the business I'm in, it's very sporadic where I could be, you know, getting up, starting my week on a Monday, get a phone call, and then I am gone for a month filming. Or, you know, and sometimes just get a call, oh, you're going to be in Hawaii for the next 5 days. Okay. So it's just a, you know, very, very sporadic, but at the same time, it's wonderful, and I'm digging it. And like we talked about before, I believe that, you know, you will enter into a relationship or the right person will come along when the timing is right. So I'm not one of these people. I mean, I don't knock this at all, but, like, I don't do any of the dating sites or anything like that. Where I'm just really focusing on who I am, kind of establishing myself. And in the career I'm in, it's wonderful because, you know, it's very, very self-reflective. Like, you constantly have to become more and more self-aware in order to kind of acquire the necessary skill sets or the level of skill to advance. So I've really kind of enjoyed it. It's been about, you know, a little over a year since I've been single, and I really have no complaints.
Yeah, Jenna and I have no doubt that there are lovely ladies circling you, reaching out to you nonstop, and you're just in.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but that kind of
I have a feeling that the ladies got their eyes on you, but I totally respect the fact that you're in your zone, you're focusing on your career and where you want to be in life. That's amazing. So tell the listeners, what was the very best Valentine's Day gift that somebody gave to you, whether it was an ex-girlfriend or like your mom and dad or just a special person? Is there anything that stands out in your mind that you really, really remember?
You know, I received a watch once, but I think we were in Florida, and I received a watch. And you know what? I regret this, so I'm going to publicly admit this right now. This was not when I was visiting or living in Florida. I was visiting, and I received a nice black watch, really, really, like, fashionable, and you know, a lot of thought went into it and everything. And as I was packing, somehow the watch got lost, and I've never seen it again. And I to this day, I mean, I am no longer in a relationship with this person. I haven't talked to them in quite some time. But I feel just, it's one of those things where, like, wow, like someone did this for me. And you know, just, I don't know if I was just so busy at the time and having to kind of pack and get going, but I really feel bad about that one, that I just forgot it there. And I've also received like some, another good gift was some essential oils, which are really cool. And I was never an essential oil guy, but I tell you what, you put a couple drops of peppermint in the shower, nothing will wake you up like that. So I've been very, very lucky to where, again, I haven't really dated that many women considering, you know, and or comparatively, I guess, someone my age, I've always been a little bit choosy in terms of who I'm going to enter into a long-term relationship with. But, you know, the women that I have dated, they have been very thoughtful and very gracious to me. So I have to acknowledge that.
They set the bar high.
Right.
So I guess this year, you know, because you've talked a lot about sort of what Valentine's Day has been like for you in the past. So this year, you know, being just over a year of you not being with anyone, will Valentine's Day just be, you know, another regular day for you? Or what do you think that will look like? Will you go around sprinkling chocolates to people on the street?
No, you know what? I may hit up a pharmacy with the half-off candy on the 15th. I think we're all guilty of that to some degree.
Sure.
A chocolate heart tastes just as good February 15th as it does the 14th. You know, to me, it's just another day. And again, I'm very happy for everyone that has someone to share it with. And I hope everyone has a great one. You know, I'll call my niece. Like, my niece now, she's big on sending Valentine's to everybody. She is 4 years old and, you know, going on 20. And I'll call her.
Like that too.
Yeah, so you know exactly what I'm talking about. So I'll call her, FaceTime her. But yeah, you know, other than that, really, no, it's just it's another day for me, and that's it. And again, you know, I think going back to my previous statement, where it doesn't matter, again, if you are in a relationship and you're dating somebody for an extended period of time, it shouldn't just be one day. You know, I was actually big on the random flower thing for no reason, just because, again, it's a gesture, and it means, hey, I was thinking about you. So I would always try to do that, you know, just for no reason at all. Like, that's something that, again, I just thought, and I don't know if it's because I was on the road so much, and I felt subconsciously guilty about that, but I think it's important to just let the person you're with know that they matter, you know, and that the random flower thing, that was just my way of kind of communicating, like, hey, you mean a lot to me, as well as saying it too.
I love to hear that. I think that is really special. If it's not a set day that you need to buy your lady flowers, but you just go out of your way to do something special so that she knows she loves you. So let's take the listeners back into the past when Taryn Stevens was a young boy and you were living with your mom and dad. Did your mom and dad do anything special for you on Valentine's Day as a child? And also, who did you connect with more? I know Jenna and I both have connected with our parents in different ways, and we often talk about how they shaped and impacted us. Was it your mom and dad who client? Which one was it who impacted you the most? And then what did they do for you that was so special on Valentine's Day?
Well, I always remember, like, you know, the chocolates and things like that, which are, you know, that was always just kind of nice. And as I get older, it was always like a joke. But that's just, you know, that's what they did. You know, and it's more my mom than my dad. And, you know, in terms of which parent affected me more, it's very funny. Like, my parents are interesting. you know, I've seen maybe them drink an adult beverage 2 or 3 times in my life, right? They don't really drink. They don't smoke. You know, dad's a cop. Mom was a school teacher. She's now, she works in a law office. You know, is the secretary there. And, you know, I talk to my mom at least once a day, usually twice. I'm very, very close with her. And again, my parents are still together too. You know, and we communicate a lot. My dad really, really, I mean, shapes who I was drastically, right? So we may not talk as much. It'll be like 2 times a week maybe, right? But there's a lot of unspokenness between my father and I, and I learned a lot, like, by watching him, and there's just, you didn't have to say things to communicate them, so that is a different dynamic. So I'm going to say, like, they both shaped me equally, but in very different ways, because my mother is extroverted, completely extroverted, and which I tend to be like. I take after my mom in a lot of ways. I look like my mom, and my personality is a lot like my mom. And my sister, it's kind of the opposite with her. Like, she takes after my dad a little more. And my dad tends to be, I'll say, introverted. That's kind of an overstatement, but he tends to be more introverted. And again, just quieter, I guess, is the right way. And where my sister, I mean, she works in advertising. She has a great personality and stuff. She can be not as outgoing as I am sometimes, but again, I kind of at times maybe I'm a little too outgoing. So again, you never know. It just kind of, it's funny how you can adopt different traits from your parents, and you just kind of, you know, that shapes your personality one way or another, whether it's subconsciously or just things you learned as a child and picked up on. And, you know, as life unfolds, the traits come out. So,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that sort of makes me think of, like, you know, of me and my brother. We actually look quite different, but also really similar. We both have different, you know, different character traits from our parents. And, mm-hmm. you know, if I just, like, think of Valentine's Day alone, you know, Valentine's Day in my house growing up, was completely spearheaded by my dad. And, like, Valentine's Day is my most favorite day of the entire year. And
oh, wow, cool.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's not because of any relationship I was ever in. It has nothing to do with any, you know, men in my life outside of my dad. And it was just, like, he always made it such a special and fun morning for us. And I now do that for my kids. And it's, you know, it's not really about big gifts, or it's like, I kind of think about Christmas and how, like, that's not something that I've ever experienced. But on Valentine's Day morning, like, I was always so excited to wake up in the morning because I knew I was going to open my door and there were going to be trails of chocolate hearts all the way from my bedroom down to the kitchen, and there would be cards all over the table, and just like little things that, you know, my dad as we got older, we would my sister and I would pretend that we were sleeping and we'd be in our room, and we would hear our dad go outside to the car to get all of the chocolate hearts that he had hidden in his trunk so that we wouldn't see them. And then it got progressively harder as we got older, because then we couldn't go downstairs to like get a glass of water or a snack or anything, because we knew as we started to go to bed later than my parents did that the whole kitchen would all be set up. And it's just a really special thing that my dad's are always done for us. And I was actually thinking, when you said you were in Florida and you got the watch this year, my family will be in Florida over Valentine's Day. And I'm just so excited for my kids to experience that, like, from my dad. Like, Jonah even said to me the other day, he's like, Mom, you know, it's February and Valentine's Day is coming up, and like, you know how you do the trails, maybe, you know, there'll be this on the table, maybe there'll be that on the table. And so
that's awesome
for my kids to experience that. But in terms of character traits and like things that you just, how your parents have affected you, a couple years ago, I mean, Addie's only four, so either last year or the year before, I came home in the middle of the day, and I had this huge delivery at my front door on Valentine's Day. And I was like, oh, what is that? And I go to my front door, and there was this huge stuffed animal, bear or whatever, that was holding a big red heart. And it was for my daughter from my brother.
That's awesome. That is so cool.
Like, yeah, it just really made me think. Like, I know it always affected me, and I love Valentine's Day, but like, even my brother, who was, you know, in his like just 20 at the time, also was like, this is an important thing. And, you know, my niece is the one that I love the most today, and I'm going to show her, and I'll show her every year. And I just thought, like, it's really, you know, everybody's, when you think like, oh, like it's a Valentine's Day, or like the opposite, like those movies about having the opposite, like hating Valentine's Day and having those dinner with your girlfriend or whatever, because people are so focused on, you know, not having a girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever it is. Like, I like what you're saying about how everybody, like, it's every day and you should love people every day. And I look at it for my family. I know my dad loves me. And he tells me a million times a day. And I actually talk to my dad numerous times a day. But,
that's awesome.
You know, it's just like that extra touch to be able to be like, you know, someone says that we should celebrate love today, and so today's the day I'm going to go above and beyond, whether we want to do that
absolutely
or not. You know?
Absolutely. That is so awesome. And that, what a great story, too. And, you know, I've never heard of a Valentine's Day being celebrated like that. And that really is awesome. And what a great thing for your kids to be able to experience that, too.
Yeah, I won't lie. I went to the dollar store today, and I did a huge overhaul of, like, all little things that I can throw into my suitcase. This will also be staying in a hotel, so they won't wake up in the house. So I bought the chocolate hearts and all this stuff so that, you know, it's not lost on them, even though we're outside of the house.
Oh, that's great. And you know what? If I could give a bit of advice, because you're in Florida for Valentine's Day, what I would do is have a little bag and put it by your suitcase, and you put all the spoils of the day in the bag so you don't forget them. Because,
right,
man,
to this
day, I'll think about that watch from time to time. And
I own
a wristwatch, but, man, I tell you what, I've been guilty of some pretty absent-minded things in my life, but forgetting that watch was really, I would put that pretty close to the top of the list.
Okay, well, I really love the fact that we've been talking about, you know, pure love and positiveness and, you know, showing love. But I think the listeners for our Valentine's Day special want to hear a little more, not secret information, but maybe information that you haven't talked about on your other podcasts. I know you have the opportunity to interview with different people, and I know that your listeners write in and ask questions, and you always address them, which is great. And I have a feeling that I haven't seen any listeners write in and ask you about this, but where I'm going is, obviously in our lives we meet people, and, you know, we have one night stands every once in a while. Are you open to telling us a little bit about if, and of course you're not going to name names, but did you ever have like an amazing one night stand that was great, and then just for none other reasons you guys never connected after that?
Okay. You know what? This may surprise some people. I don't know. The answer to that is no.
Okay.
I really have, like, for me to be intimate with someone, you know, look, the notion of a one-night stand, and in many people, I mean, you can define one-night stand as a number of different things, but I guess for purposes of this conversation, like, we're talking about, you know, as Meatloaf would say, going all the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just, and I don't know if this stems from, like, being an empath, which it's a few years ago I found out what an empath was, and I was like, oh, okay, bingo. But for me to actually be fully intimate with someone, no, I just, the whole notion of, again, the one-night stand, even in my younger days, was, I was always more careful of that. Now, I've dated people for very short periods of time, but it was never like the one and done with me. And you know what? I don't care if that makes me, you know, seem less cool or anything like that, but that's just the way it is. I do have to have a connection with someone in order for me to be intimate to that degree. And I always have. So.
No, I think that's great. I don't think anybody will think that makes you less cool. I think that actually makes you admirable and gives right. other people something to look up to, because believe me, there is a lot of both men and women that go out, have a few cocktails, maybe don't feel confident or feel like they've got anything going on in their lives. And when somebody shows them a little attention mixed with some cocktails, it tends to get exciting in a hurry. And also, why I was asking is I know there's a lot of times where people have one-night stands, and if you can just have a one-night stand and leave it at that, then that is okay for both people. But I have a lot of girlfriends that will have a one-night stand with somebody and then not be able to accept the fact that it was what it was, and then they end up, you know, making themselves look a little bit like a dum-dum or harassing mm-hmm. the person or following them or asking for more than they should even get. So I think it's nice that you don't even open up that can of worms. You don't even lead women on to that point.
No, and you know, look, have I done things I regret? Yes. To again be fully intimate with someone like that, you know, you can say one night stand, but like the fact is, and you know, where I don't want to get too metaphysical here, but the act of intimacy, and I by intimacy I mean going all the way, as Meatloaf would say, you can't physically connect with someone like that without there being some kind of energy exchange, right? So, even if you just sleep with someone one time, there is that, in my opinion, the etheric imprint, if you will. And you just have to be careful, in my opinion, who you do that with. And I'm interested in your thoughts on that one way or another too, about the, you know, the exchange of energy like that, because that's what it is. And there have been many books written on it, which I won't get into, but.
No, you're right. Obviously, having a sexual energy with somebody is one of the most personal and important energies. And yes, of course, I don't think it's good to just give it away to anybody. And I think that there's a lot of different people that come into your life for different things. And mm-hmm. just recently, I kind of have watched this Kama Sutra video that mm-hmm. really shows you from both sides of, you know, the male and the female, of how to be pleasurable and how to be able to, you know, look somebody in the eye while you're having an intimate moment. And obviously when you're having a one night stand, probably the last thing you want to do is necessarily look the person in the eye or mm-hmm. have, like, it also touches on just things and places where you can touch people and go out of your way to really connect and have these not only sexual moments, but spiritually moments mixed in with sexual energy. So I think there's a lot of different levels of that. And to answer the question, yes, I think it's a huge energy exchange. And again, if two people are going into quote unquote a one night stand and they're both okay with it, and at the end of the night, you're not going to wake up and feel bad about yourself, then it's kind of like, okay, be safe, do what you need to do and move on. But if one person is more vulnerable and they're thinking that this is going to be, you know, a year relationship and this person really loves me and they wake up,
yeah,
and they're
like, yeah,
that could be devastating to people. So, So on an energetic level, like when you are with a partner that you love, whether it was a year ago or, you know, 5 years ago, when you're thinking of the person that you were really in love with and wanted to be intimate with, was there anything, and like not like a hardcore sexual thing, but is there anything that you did when you're with them to let them know that they are so special to you, whether it's walking with your fingers interlocked or, you know, keeping your hand on the butt cheek while you guys are walking through a crowd, or what kind of things did you do just to let your girl know that you only have eyes for her and she is so special?
I was actually big on communicating. And, you know, again, it was like the random flower things. And I really would try to go out of my way and just let them know that I loved them and I cared about them. And you know, it's funny because it kind of takes a lot for me to fully open up to someone. And I do say I'm extroverted, and I am on the surface. But, you know, there's a couple layers that for me to fully open up and kind of connect with somebody on a bunch of different levels, it does take a little bit. But I also, and, you know, sometimes I've been good at it, sometimes I failed, I try to be communicative and have that open line of communication and let people know how I'm feeling. You know, some people that I've been in relationships with have just naturally been introverted. And you know what? That's okay. You know, and at times I was like, oh, well, I doing something wrong. And no, you know what? That's just the way people's personalities are. And that's fine. And I mean, you know, look, I've been lucky because I have been in relationships with some amazing, amazing women, you know, and sometimes personalities just don't match up, or sometimes it's the right person, wrong time, whatever the reason. I just do think that, again, like everyone tries to show their love and affection in the same way. I mean, I don't think that anyone enters a relationship and is like, man, I don't care about this person, but I'm gonna date them. That just doesn't happen. Unless, of course, there's other reasons that we won't get into, but you know, we try to show it in our own way. And sometimes maybe like people don't see what we're doing, or sometimes it just gets lost in translation or whatever. But again, I do believe, you know, in hindsight that the good intentions were always there. And again, like with me, it was sometimes flowers. You know, I would hold hands. There was like two women in particular. I would hold their hands in public. You know, not at the same time, obviously these are different relationships, but, you know, if I really do care about someone, I'm big on classy displays of affection, you know, and you know what, look, at the same time, where we live in a different time now, right? And there's social media. Well, when I was younger, and I was just kind of starting on TV, there was an incident on social media where somebody like stole my little cousin's identity, and it was just a mess, right? That I don't have a Facebook to this day for that reason. but I was always kind of wanting to protect the person I was with because I didn't want any harm to befall them. And so I was like at one really, really kind of in favor of not posting any personal pictures on social media. Well, the way the world is, to some people, not posting pictures on social media is, oh, you don't want to acknowledge a relationship with me. And it was tough for me because in the position I was in, where I had people I really care about kind of have their identity stolen, this and that. I mean, it was kind of a double-edged sword, right? And you know what? In hindsight, back then, if I had posted pictures on social media, perhaps it, you know, it would have let them know and made them feel like they wanted to feel. Again, I don't know, but I was making the best decisions I could at the time. And you know what? I think that's all we can do. I mean, people are going to respond to different things in different ways. So you just kind of have to, I think, like, really just communicate and see what your significant other, see where their head's at. See what would make them feel the best. Because sometimes, look, flowers, they're nice, but maybe they don't work. You know, maybe they won't kind of get the message across. So it's, again, it's really is on an individual basis, and communication is key, in my opinion.
And Aaron, you made two great points. I'm going to let Jenna handle the point about communication, because we definitely want to talk more about that. But what I'm going to touch on is something that I can totally resonate with. My husband and I have been together for 11 years. Dating and living together for 11 years, married for 7, but in the beginning of our relationship, rewind at the beginning, 11 years ago, I distinctly remember that I was living in Miami at the time with a girlfriend and living my life through social media. It was Facebook back then, because I don't think Instagram was around, and my husband had come to visit me, and we had took some pictures, and, you know, classy pictures, like lying in a hammock, or, you know, a pool shot, everything I thought was very tasteful. He went back home to Toronto, and I was in still Miami with my girlfriend, and I posted the pictures on Facebook, and he had an absolute heart attack. He called me. He wanted me to take the pictures down. He didn't want people to see them, and I was super offended at the time. I was, like, basically thinking in my head, does this guy know who I am? No, but really, I was super offended. I was like, is he trying to date other girls on the side? Is that why he doesn't want our relationship to be exposed? So it was offensive to me. And I mean, obviously, we got past that. And even for the few years that we were together without the kids, he still was not big on social media and did not want to post pictures. And now that we have the kids, I can kind of guilt him into taking pictures, because everybody needs to put some family photos, but he's not into social media. He does not really post himself. So I could see, for you, when you were dating girls back then and you weren't interested in putting that on social media, it could make the girls feel insecure about the relationship, insecure about how you felt about them. But this brings us all back to communication. If you can have the proper communication and explain to the ladies that you're dating why it's not in the best interest to put up pictures, then I think that that will obviously help a relationship. And then, Jenna, what else did you want to touch on in regards to communication?
Well, no, like, I was also just thinking, like, in terms of social media, like, I mean, you just never really know, I guess, sort of like who's watching and what people are feeling and what people are thinking. And I guess, like, I totally hear what Julie was saying. And I heard that story so long ago when I was married. And now at this point, like, I think of it in such a different perspective, where, like, when I'm in a situation where I am dating someone, I don't know if I'll be as open on social media as I am now with my life. Right? Like, right now, that's my life. You know, you've all just Savvy Sassy Moms, and everybody knows that I'm buying my kids Valentine's Day stuff. And, you know, everything is sort of out there and open. But as I move forward in my life, and, you know, I have kids, and if I potentially date someone who also has children, or whatever, or an ex-wife, or I have an ex-husband, like, I feel like you have to be very mindful of how those things will now affect other people. And so, you know, it's not so much just about, you know, I need to put something on social media so you know how I feel about you. You know, I think we should be mindful of sort of everyone and the bigger picture.
Yeah, there's lots of variables to consider now, especially in the spot that you sit in.
For sure.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And, you know, it's funny. Part of my education out here is watching very, very old movies, one of which was entitled Inherit the Wind. I apologize. I'm getting a little bit of a cold. It's been raining out here for the last 2 weeks. But as part of that movie, it takes place in a courthouse. And, you know, it's very, very early America, to where the telephone was just starting to come around. And as one counselor was giving a speech, he said, yes, you can have your telephone. And I may misquote this, but he said it's something like, but it will cost you your privacy and the charm of distance. And really, like with social media now, you know, as the telephone back then, you know, you lost, and you know what? Yeah, I'll say privacy to a degree, because I mean, we all grew up with telephones, so we never really thought much about it. But telephones were like social media in a way, where you could communicate quicker than you normally could. And now it's evolved to the point of, you know, posting pictures and responding and this whole deal. There is a certain loss of privacy for everyone, let alone people in the public eye. And there's also the charm of having a personal life. There's the charm of, you know, not letting everyone know what you had for breakfast every single day. And to this day, I will not post a food selfie. Like, if I make something, in the rare occasion, that's fine. But if I go out to a restaurant and order a meal, I am not going to post a picture of it. I'm dead set against that. But that and the gym selfie, but that's another story for another day. But
you can definitely start in there. You can definitely count a fact that I will also never post food pictures. I don't know if it's just because I'm not
awesome
or because food semi scares me, but at the same time, I hear you on that. And I think there's different people in social media that have different levels where, you know, some women who are working in the fitness industry post that they had eggs and hot sauce and, I don't know, something for breakfast. And it actually gives women ideas, or it gives people ideas. So,
yes.
Right.
That's inspirational or commercial. And look, that's fine. I completely understand that. You know, that's something that is helping people. You know, that's amazing. But, you know, I am not a dietitian. So, like, again, it's just my cup of tea to not post that, because I really don't have anything to say in terms of food. You know, I'm not an expert, so I'll choose to eat my meals without taking out my iPhone, you know?
Right. Yeah, I understand that. So, you know what I was thinking about in social media when I was in cold Toronto and I opened up my Instagram stories? I saw you and Jenna in Malibu, or was it LA? LA.
That was in LA, yep.
And I was so jealous. So tell me about that. So for the listeners, Jenna and I live in Toronto. Karen lives in LA, and Jenna was there for a Cabbie fashion show, which is a clothing line that she represents in LA. They have amazing clothes. And you got to go there, and you guys got to hang out for a bit.
Yes, we did. And no, it was awesome. I made the drive in to the city, and you know, we just had a great time. We had a great conversation, and you know, I remember from our previous show, the Christmas show, you know, where we really did. We had a great podcast and just kind of connected and put out some good content. So I was really, really happy to meet face to face and just talk and get to know someone. So yeah.
Well, yeah, it's always like I also feel like in the space of like social media, again, like you bring it up, even people that I live in the same city with that like I haven't seen in a while, or I went to high school with and I bump into them, it's like always that awkward like, oh yeah, you've got two kids now, like how's that going? Because we know so much about people's lives because we follow their stories or we follow their posts.
Yeah.
Like, even though you haven't seen someone in so long, or you know, you've never met someone, it's kind of like, oh, but I feel like I already know you. So it's always nice, like we can't take for granted the fact that personal connection and actually seeing someone and speaking to them is better
absolutely
than following people on social media. So I agree. It was so nice to meet you. Like, we had the opportunities to do this. It was really nice to actually meet you in real life.
Well, thank you. And likewise.
Yeah.
And you know what? It was there was a lot of cool art there at that place.
It was really cool. Yeah. It was the Sophie Pell in Beverly Hills, and actually when we got there, that was the first thing I noticed, like there was amazing art everywhere. And then the night before you came, and I really appreciate you driving down into Beverly Hills from Malibu, I would have never made it out there. a long weekend of, you know, it was fantastic, but also a lot of learning and things that I'm doing in LA. But yeah, I got back the night before, and it was, like, it was crazy there. There were so many people. Like, there was a red carpet. It was, like, so extreme. And I asked them what was going on, and apparently they had been working on that art installation all over the lobby for a while. Like, it was a long time coming, and that they had just put in all of the art. So we were there right at the right time to see that very cool art. It was awesome. Really awesome.
Now, would you like to tell anyone listening about your clothing line? Because, you know what, maybe they, you know, if they're great for, if they're a male listener for gift ideas, and if they're a female listener, there are just some great clothes there.
Well, thanks. That's so nice. Yeah, I sell a line called Cavi Clothing. That's actually a company out of LA, which is why I was there. And then there's stylists all over the US, Canada, and the UK. So I am one of the stylists in Canada, in Toronto. And so you can shop online at cavionline.ca or cavionline.com. And if you live in Toronto, then you would shop with me, a stylist. Otherwise, you can look for a stylist online. So it's Cavi, C-A-V-I, online. And then you would find a stylist. And what we essentially do is we take away all of the stress of going to the mall and finding parking and walking around a store aimlessly and not feeling like you have any help in the store, or that you're, you know, shopping with someone who really knows you. And instead, we bring the clothes to you, and we create a pop-up shop, and we encourage you to invite your friends. And basically, I do a whole presentation of the whole line, and then women have the opportunity to be styled as they, you know, try on clothes in the comfort of their friend's home, and they shop together, and they have snacks and drink wine or whatever they want to make it. And it's just like a really fun, nice opportunity. And it sort of just like brings me back to that point. It's really nice to be able to connect with different people. And Cavi is really about that. So on social media, you're sort of watching, and on online shopping, you're doing the same thing. You're sort of sitting there and you're clicking and you're doing it by yourself and you're hoping for the best. But, you know, everything is always better when you have other people to do it with and can really make a night out of it. So, and
I must add in one thing to the listeners. Jenna Greenspoon is really amazing at styling. I basically show up at her house, bra and underwear, trench coat wrapped around me. I open the door and say, please style me for whether I'm going to the office or going out with dinner for going for dinner with girls. Whatever it is that I have tasks to take on, Jenna always makes sure that I'm dressed in the most appropriate fashion. And the other thing about that is, yeah, it's a pleasure. We would, if, will Cavi ever have men's clothes? Will we ever be able to get Erin into some of your day?
I mean, I think we're just like strictly women, but that doesn't mean that men can't, you know, participate. So we have lots of men who will contact the stylist and buy gift cards for birthdays, for holidays, or whatever it is. We have a lot of, we actually have a Valentine trouser and blazer in the collection right now, which is red and beautiful. So a lot of men will buy gift cards, but I will say, like, one thing that is really nice about it is, like, so my best friend, she loves to shop with her husband, and her husband loves to have an opinion on what she wears. And, so for her, you know, she had her party after everybody left. Her husband came downstairs. She tried on, you know, all of the things that she liked. He gave his opinion. He was super happy sitting on the couch, giving his opinion without having to, like, schlep to the mall and sit in the change room and be like, honey, the game's on. When can we go home? So I know a lot of men really enjoy it because then they also get to participate with their wives and share their opinions.
So, Erin, that leads us to our next question. Have you ever gone shopping with a woman? Just go there, kind of same thing. Sit in the change room, let her know, give your opinion. Is that something that you do when you're in love with a girl?
Well, I'm going to say this. I'm going to tell you guys a story. And first of all, I have a couple red carpet events coming up. Jenna, I may need your opinion because I have the fashion sense of a monk. I mean, no. When I say it's bad, like I have a closet full of clothes, right, that And in the last, really the only two major relationships that I've been in, I was fortunate enough that, you know, I had good clothes picked out for me, and I would get, you know, as gifts and things like that. you know, pair of jeans or a shirt, and then you wear these jeans with this shirt and then these shoes. So I was very, very lucky. But I really haven't bought any new clothes since then. And so it's like, you know, I'm not going to get into a relationship to get a makeover, but like with these red carpet events coming up, I'm going, oh man, like I really got some problems ahead of me in terms of, I don't know how to dress. I may consult you, and I'll give you a consulting fee if it's okay.
I'm happy to help you.
Yeah, one of my girlfriends, I don't think I was necessarily allowed shopping, because I would just kind of get into trouble in the stores and everything. But there was another story, and this is, you know, again, I'd never experienced anything like this in my life, to where a friend of mine, you know, she was coming out to visit me in L.A., and it was time to get a purse. Now, I've never gone purse shopping, right? And this was a purse. I forgot the name of this. I have no idea. To this day, it was some name. It wasn't like a Louis Vuitton or anything like that. This was some next level name brand, right? That I have no idea. But I'm like, okay, cool, whatever. We'll go and we'll make a day of it. So we go to Beverly Hills. Pull up, there's a parking garage. Now, apparently there's only like two stores where you can get this purse in the country. So I'm like, all right. I walk in, and a guy in a tuxedo, right? I mean, I'm talking full-on tuxedo and white gloves, says, oh, sir, how are you? Would you like a bottle of water? And I'm at that moment.
That's like
I'm
my kind of shopping experience.
Yeah, I'm just like, okay, like they're handing out beverages and stuff now. I need to see this. Like, I want to see this whole process. So we walk in, and there was a nice woman behind the counter, and, you know, she lays out these little, like, swatches of leather, and then there's the different style purses. And after, you know, some time, which was not as long as I expected, but they say, okay, we're now ready to bring out the purse you want. Well, the woman puts white gloves on.
Nice.
I'm completely, like, taken back at this point, right, to where I'm like, this is some next-level stuff. She puts the white gloves on and calls for someone in the back who's dressed in a suit. Now, if you work in the back room and you still have to wear a suit, I mean, that again, I don't know what kind of a place this is, but, you know, my buddy was handing out waters. I got another water from him. And Frank was his name, I believe. But the purse comes out. Now, the purse comes out, and it has a case, but then there's a bag over the case, and it just smells like an enchanted forest. And, you know, the white gloves take the purse out, ended up getting the purse. Great. Awesome. So we go back to the parking garage. And in the parking garage, you know, it was like 10, 20 bucks or something like that to park, but I had lost the ticket. And not lost, but it was somewhere on me. And as I pulled up, I'm like, oh, one sec, sir, let me grab it. And he goes, oh, wait a minute. He saw this bag with the name brand on it, the logo on it. And again, I still, right, for the life of me, cannot remember the name of this purse. But he looks at me, and he's like, oh, you guys went shopping there? I says, brother, go ahead. So that was kind of nice. To where I got free parking, I guess, because maybe they validated parking or something. I don't know, but the look he gave me was like, oh yeah, like some serious coin was absolutely dropped on this purse. And it was something. It really was a different kind of shopping experience. And that was, like, I guess, my one shopping story.
Right. And then, you know, sorry, go on.
No, I was just saying, there were other times when, now I would be taking clothes shopping when it was time to get my clothes. You know, there were several times. I remember one time when I was actually coming out to L.A. I was actually doing something with Kevin Hart and Will Ferrell, and I had to go and get this outfit. And the girl I was dating at the time, like, we went to, I think it was Express, and then, man, trying on those different jeans, that was when I had to make the transition from what I call regular jeans, which, I mean, and look, I'm talking Levi's. I am a, again, fashion sense of a monk. Not that there's anything wrong with Levi's. Like, a good pair of Levi's is great, but to kind of get a little more Hollywooded up, I had to kind of branch out. Well, man, those Express jeans, the sizes are not like Levi's. So I remember coming out, and, I mean, I really looked like I was wearing spandex on some of those things. But, no, it was funny. I mean, we've actually, there's been a lot of funny moments with me, like, trying on outfits and things like that, that have been funny. But I don't think really anyone that really knows me to the point of, again, I don't exactly have an eye for fashion, but, you know, it may be my, I don't want to call it ADD, but, like, if I'm at a store in the women's department, you know, I'm like, oh, well, what's going on at Foot Locker? What's going on here? And I my mind can kind of wander. So I think, I really haven't been shopping with and for a female that much. So.
All right. Well, we still love you, Aaron, even though you're not.
Well, thank you. I tried.
We still love you. And
thank you.
For all the listeners, you know, your wrestling fans and your listeners who probably don't realize how serious women take purse shopping, it's a serious task. I mean, this is a purse that usually you're investing quite a bit of money. And I'm really happy to hear that the woman wasn't expecting you to pay for it. That made me happy. I was kind of waiting to see if you were going to say, like, and then we got to the counter and she waited for me to pay for it. So happy that she bought herself her own purse.
Oh, no, she actually insisted. And I'm sorry not to pick it up, but I've been very, very lucky. I am choosy to a degree in terms of, and we've already kind of discussed this in terms of who I'm intimate with, but, like, in terms of who I'm really going to be in a long-term relationship with, I'd never at one point felt that someone was with me because of what I did. You know, and it's that's something that I really should not take for granted now. I've been with some pretty independent and self-sufficient females, and then that is really testament to them. And you know what, like, we live in an age now where, you know, it's yes, female equality, which I'm all for. But you know, if I was out of line, they would tell me I was out of line real quick. But then, you know, at any point, if I needed, like, kind of someone to lean on or anything, they were there. So that is really testament. I think they're both examples of really what women, you know, are striving for and everything like that. So I just think that's important to acknowledge that. Like, they've been very, really strong, but at the same time, very, very feminine too. So it was a good blend. And I never had anything to complain about in that department. So,
but, you know, that makes sense, Aaron. You seem like an amazing dude, and I believe that you probably attract amazing women. So before we get ready to tie up our Valentine's Day special that Jenna and I were so happy to be able to talk to you with, I was just going to ask you, if you were going to buy a woman flowers, would it be red, white, or pink roses?
Well, if it was for Valentine's Day, definitely red roses. But also, like, I think women are big on, like every really girl that I date, like, has had their preference of flowers.
Right.
And
true. You're right.
For me, it's like, you know, yeah, everyone loves red roses, but some people like white roses. Some people like yellow roses, right? So it's kind of whatever would make them feel special and kind of cater to them. That's my deal.
Amazing, Aaron. You sound like a wonderful gentleman. And I can't believe how fast time goes. Like, every time we're talking to you, the time just flies.
I know.
You had a good show with us.
I had an excellent show. And again, thank you guys for everything. It's always a pleasure to be able to talk to you guys.
And you can always find Aaron Stevens, Ask Me Anything, on the Barn Burner Network, where there is so many other also amazing shows. And I know we had touched on the fact that the Barn Burner Network is also airing my new show, Julie Hinton Green, Living in the Now, talking about different topics. And on air, I want to ask you, Aaron, are you going to come and be a guest on my show?
I would absolutely be honored to do that.
All right. So we're going to pick the right time, and then we are going to just dive into some more important, interesting topics. I know Jenna Greenspoon wants to also give a nice farewell.
It was an absolute pleasure, as always. Thank you for getting so personal with us and really
giving
your fans an opportunity to really get to know you and hear stories from your past. We always love to, you know, make connections to life before now. And we're so glad that we had the opportunity to interview you. And we hope that we continue to do special either holiday podcasts like this or, you know, podcasts with you every once in a while so that we can keep
track of
you and find out as your love life continues to take off. And
yes.
We wish you lots of success.
Or sit on the tarmac. it's sitting on the tarmac right now.
We have no doubt that you will be well taken care of, Aaron.
Well, thank you.
When you are ready.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And again, thank you guys for bringing this out of me too. So you guys definitely have a knack for interviewing people and really getting great stuff. So it's always a pleasure.
All right. So for all the listeners and fans, you can always listen to the shows, Ask Me Anything with Aaron Stevens, and peace out for now.